You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
The NFL not screwing around in week one. It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen.
Tons of fun.
Well, ton and a half.
No, that's not true.
I tell you what, you really sell yourself as this fat individual, and it's fraudulent and frankly insulting to somebody like me.
Are you looking right now at the monitor in this studio?
I am.
Are you looking at the shot that right now is being produced on ESPN Plus?
I am.
Are you looking at it?
Yes.
I don't think you are, because if the camera adds 10 pounds, there's got to be at least three or four cameras on both of us.
The Scarlet is very slimming, Bob. I couldn't be more excited and kind of annoyed about week one in the NFL.
I know.
It's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. As we get right into this, so week one schedule is out. You're seeing all different leaks here and there. We're going to stick to the week one schedule and the London games that we certainly know for sure at this point. Now, right out of the gate, I couldn't love the idea of Cowboys-Buccaneers anymore. And we knew it was going to be in Tampa, obviously. But I love bringing Dallas in. I love making a huge spectacle out of week one and the opening game. I always think that's fantastic. I think they fired so many bullets in week one with some of the matchups that you've got. You've got Ravens and Raiders on Monday Night Football. You've got Jets-Carolina with the Sam Darnold game. You've got Cleveland-Kansas City in week one. The Packers and Saints, which, by the way, could end up being Taysom Hill and Jordan Love. Bob, there's a lot to delve into here. But when I look at week one, there's part of me that, like, almost wants to think it's too much too fast. Steelers-Bills, 1 o'clock week one.
To me, this is the NFL. This is why we talk about it all the time. I think if you took the 32 teams and tossed them in a hat and jumbled it up, and you just dropped them out and picked two pieces of paper that were next to each other 16 times, you would still get at least 7 or 8 matchups a week where you're like, oh, the NFL just loaded up. Look at what they gave us in week one. You got to be kidding me. Now, look, you are obviously, when you're putting the Bucs and the Cowboys on opening night, you are trying to come out firing. But how many bad matchups do we get at least early in the season in the NFL? Now, there's some bad teams. The Jets have been a bad team. I think the Bears are going to be kind of an team to watch. I mean, there are definitely teams that are going to be like less than attractive to watch on television. But generally speaking, it's really hard now in the NFL with the level of quarterback play, really hard to come up with bad games across the board.
When I look at a few of them, all right, does Chargers-Washington fire me up? No, it doesn't right out of the gate. But, you know, Justin Herbert's there. But for instance, if I'm going to look at the Jets, if I'm the Jets, this is the last thing I want. If I'm the Jet fans, this is the last thing I want. Do I want to have to deal with that storyline of Sam Darnold against his former team the entire week? And I get that it's not a story that may be the biggest across the country. But in New York, it's a big deal. Do I want my rookie quarterback if I'm the Jets?
I don't want to hear it.
I don't care.
I don't want to hear it.
If I'm the Jets, do I want my rookie quarterback in his first career start going up against the guy that he replaced?
Yeah, tough. Suck it up. Don't want to hear it. Don't care. Don't want to hear from Jet fans about it. Don't even want to hear from the Jets about it. You traded him. You made this decision. Like, and let me tell you something. If I go up and down my Twitter feed, I am one of the few that still defends Sam Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of the few that says I think he's going to go to Carolina and be good. I think he's going to have a renaissance to his career. I think he can still do this. I put that out there on Twitter. I get reams. I mean, reams of responses, not even from Jet fans included, but from football fans in general. He's the lowest rated quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Pro Football Focus 32. He can't play. This was all his fault. He stinks. Well, you know what? If that's the way you feel as a Jet fan when Sam Darnold was on your team, don't come back now and complain you got to go play him week one. You should be running to play him week one what you thought about him here.
Well, here's what I know. Now you're that 65-yard play to Christian McCaffrey on the 3-yard pass you were talking about the other day. You're going to be calling it. That's 100%. What I know. And I don't know that the Jet fan is going to be terribly thrilled about that. And that's just one of the storylines that I look at week one, and I almost feel like you don't need to come out quiet. Don't get me wrong. Browns Chiefs. I mean, that's a great, great 4 o'clock game week one. Dolphins Patriots. I mean, that's a really, really good game this early in the year. Broncos Giants. I mean, there's almost an assumption operating on there that you're going to see Aaron Rodgers with the Broncos when you're scheduling a game like that. I look up and down, and there are some games that I honestly feel like maybe you can spread them out just a little bit better early in the year. And I'm nitpicking. I understand that. Listen, I can find flaws in absolutely anything. I can even find flaws with you. The problem for me is I don't want to have instances here so early in the year where I have great stories and I'm bunching them all up so very early.
No, to me, the storylines are spread out in the NFL by accident because there are so many.
There was no accident with some of this
stuff. Well, no, obviously, yes. There are games in week one that were calculated, nothing more so than Cowboys Bucks. But if you took the Chiefs' schedule, jumble it up. Just take their list of opponents without even knowing when they're playing them. It's Patrick Mahomes. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. They've been in the last two Super Bowls and won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. He's probably the number one TV draw right now, maybe not just in the NFL, maybe in sports. How many games are they going to have where you're like, that Chiefs game this week is kind of blah? I mean, yes, they're playing a very attractive game on week one when you've got, you know, the Baker Mayfield going against it. But, I mean, obviously, if the Chiefs are playing that division, How's Chiefs Steelers going to be a bad matchup?
No, it's right? not a bad matchup.
So to me, out of the 17 games that the Chiefs will play, at least 12 or 13 of them are going to be every bit as attractive a TV property as that.
I would have loved to have seen Steelers Bills later in the year in a primetime spot as opposed to 1 o'clock week one.
There's just no pleasing you. That's really what it comes down to. There's no pleasing you.
No,
the NFL has given you this incredible buffet by accident on opening day in some cases, and you're here moaning and groaning about it.
I know I'm going to get Jags-Titans on one of those primetime games. I know that for sure.
That's the number one pick in the draft against a team that's been a playoff team the last few years.
You understand my point in terms of markets and such.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, and then you've also got – how about the fact that you've got Green Bay and the Saints right away? You have two teams that are potentially moving on – from two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and you could sit there and be watching Jordan Love and Taysom Hill play in a game where, when you first look at it, man, that's exciting. And then,
I'm really interested to see the rest of the reveal later on tonight.
Yeah.
If for no other reason than that storyline. What impact did the uncertainty with Aaron Rodgers have on how they divvied these games up and how many times they're putting Denver in prime time, how many times they're putting Green Bay in prime time, and how they're waiting where Aaron Rodgers might end up because of that. I think the limit for night games is 6. I don't think you can play more than – now that's in a 16-game season. Maybe in a 17-game season it will go to 7. I don't know. But I think the limit is 6. Aaron Rodgers being the MVP and the Packers being the Packers, you'd want the Packers on 6 times at night. Now, they're going to play a Thursday night game no matter what. Everyone does. But if you're NBC with the Sunday night package, ESPN obviously with the Monday night package, you want at least 2 Aaron Rodgers quarterbacked games in your TV window. How do you pick them? How do you know what team he's going to play for?
It's very difficult.
Now, there's some flex scheduling,
yeah.
So that helps as well, and maybe there'll be some Aaron Rodgers flexibility later on in the season, depending on where he ends up, but that's where they have to get creative with this, because you're right, you could end up with some Jordan Love clunkers in prime time in spots where you thought you might get Aaron Rodgers, or some Drew Lock clunkers in prime time where you thought, oh, that might be where Aaron Rodgers ends up.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your take on week one of the NFL, the schedule that's out there. A couple of the other games I want to get into. You've also got the Bears and the Rams right away. You got Matthew Stafford going up against a team that he's going to know very well. And then potentially Justin Fields right out of the gate.
Not potentially.
Opening. You think he's starting week one no matter what?
Why not? These guys all play. When you get drafted in the top 10 of the NFL draft as a quarterback, Patrick Mahomes was the unicorn in what has now become. Well, you put a rookie out there. The rookies go play. If they don't look, if they don't play on opening day, they play by week three. But I would think Justin Fields would be out there week one.
I think it's highly probable. I don't think it's as much of a lock as you make it out to be. Because, yes, you want these guys to get out there, but I also don't want to put them out too soon if I think they're going to benefit from sitting and watching for a couple of weeks. More than anything, I'll give it that. But I'm excited that his first career start could be in prime time, and I'm excited to see what Matthew Stafford looks like with the Rams. I'm very excited because
Rams are going to be good.
We've had this discussion before about Stafford and what he is as a quarterback, and if he's just somebody that over the years has been a really good quarterback on a bad team, and now he's going to an ideal situation, I think, for a quarterback, one of the best coaches in the league, and for offense especially, and just better personnel, I think, all the way around. I think that Stafford, right out of the gate, has an opportunity to show you that he is a much better quarterback than maybe people realize.
Well, in my opinion, Matthew Stafford now goes there, and that's a 12-win team, and they win that division. I think that's how good he is, and I think he will show that's how good he is, given the opportunity there.
I think that with his ability and those kind of weapons, like Robert Woods is a very underrated receiver. He's somebody that I think can do a lot of damage with a quarterback like this. I'm somebody that felt like Jared Goff was just not anything special, and somebody that you can give him the answers to the test, but he still doesn't seem to get it. So that game excites me. I look at Ravens-Raiders Monday Night Football in Vegas with Lamar Jackson continuing to try to prove himself and the Raiders potentially having Aaron Rodgers. Think about that. Could be that situation. So there's a lot here to chew on. I just feel like maybe too much too quick. That's all. I know that we're going to have great matchups every week. I understand that. I understand that. But I do, like, if I were interested in what one particular fan base feels, if I'm the Jets, and we're going to ask a Jet fan in a second, do you want to start week one against Carolina? What do you think of your team's week one matchups? Let's go. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We are taking your calls right now, and we're starting with Ira in Staten Island. Hello, Ira. How are you, buddy?
Hey, what's happening? Chris, Bob, what's going on?
Ira.
Listen, you know what? I love it. You know, bring it on, man. You know, listen, I know where you stand with Donald, Bob. I wish him success in Carolina. I think he will get his career turned around. But I think it's so intriguing. Zach Wilson going against Sam Darnold week one. And you know what? That's a great way to kick off the year. I'm not going to be crying in my beer here. I think it's just a great thing. And let the Jets team win.
And if you look at the rest of the Jets' road schedule, their scheduled opponents, we'll see how they fall tonight. Carolina's got to be one of the two or three most winnable games that they will have as a road team. I mean, I can't imagine there are too many soft landing spots anywhere else. Certainly not in their own division. The Patriots might be their easiest road game in their own division, which is crazy to say. So to me, any Jet fan that moans and groans about having to open up against the quarterback everybody wanted to get rid of and a well below 500 opponent this past year on the road, what better opportunity does Zach Wilson have on opening day on the road to get a win?
I think it's possible that you're putting so much more on him at that point. Like, I don't get this. I don't get this. You want to throw him out there? You want to get him starting right away. You're really throwing him into the fire. That's all fine. Like, if I'm Joe Douglas, I'd be annoyed by this. I would be. And I'm not saying it's going to be a bad situation for them. I'm not saying if I'm Robert Saleh, I'm annoyed by this. Because I don't want that storyline all week in this guy's preparation for his first career NFL start. It's going to come on the road, and it's coming up against the guy that he just replaced.
All right. Real quick. Mm. These are the Jets' road opponents. You tell me who you'd rather play. There's a couple on here. I agree with you. If you could cherry pick where you'd want to be, maybe better
than
Carolina.
Joe Douglas or Robert Saleh was making the schedule.
Well, you want to go to Buffalo?
No.
You want to go to Miami? You probably don't want to open up against New England.
No.
Miami was a 10-win team last year. No. You don't want to start with them. At Indianapolis? At Atlanta?
Yeah.
Now, here are arguably the places you might rather go. At Denver, at Houston.
Oh, give me Houston.
Houston would be the absolutely, you know, the if you could cherry pick one, you'd say, well, there's the softest landing spot. But
I know you can't.
Carolina is no worse than their third out of eight hardest opponent to get on
the road. It's going to bug me all week long.
I mean, at some point, you got to get the storyline in.
Kai is in Baltimore. Kai, what's going on? You're on Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
What's going on, fellas? Listen, I have a trip with my wife out in Vegas. Already booked for that game. I'm a big-time Raven fan. Listen, one of you guys stole my thunder. Aaron Rodgers will play for the Oakland Raiders, and they will trade Derek Carr because Derek Carr wanted to get out. They wanted to get Derek Carr out of there a few years ago, so that's going to happen. And what a great way to, open up the stadium, win some money out there in Vegas, have my team, Lamar Jackson, start off MVP season with the best defense, number one defense probably this year. We got, man, I'm so fired up for this, man. I can't tell you.
Kai, I tell you what. You go over to the Mandalay Bay, you tell them you know me, you're comped. I promise you that. I can tell you that right out of the gate. Even better. I do love that game. I really do. I think that there's an awful lot to love about week one. As I said, I just would like to dial it back a hair. A hair. That's all. Ironic, I'm saying.
You're a complainer.
I am not a complainer.
You are a complainer.
I will complain for last night's Knicks loss to the Lakers in Los Angeles, because that's a game that could be really, really devastating for any hope of winning a playoff round. Right now, they are in a three-way tie for 4, 5, and 6, and they do not break tiebreakers, and they had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of that game. And I understand where they are in their development. No LeBron James, a banged up Anthony Davis, Alex Caruso leaves the game early, no Dennis Schroeder, 10-point lead, fourth quarter, go win the game.
Well, the Knicks are shorthanded as well. No Emmanuel Quickly, obviously no Mitchell Robinson, no Alec Burks. Those have all been guys that have been vital for them at different times this season. But you're right. Hey, look, forget the 10-point lead. How about you've got the ball with 13 seconds to go in the game, up to, and you take a shot clock violation and then give an offensive rebound up at the other end. And in overtime, you've got the ball with 30 seconds to go and the lead. And how about the last possession?
Oh.
I mean, so to me, if I'm Tom Thibodeau, the hardest part of film review of that game is the last possession of regulation and the last possession of the game. The fact that you took a shot clock violation when you could have, if you executed, put the game out of reach, you could have been up two possessions at the end of regulation if you score a basket with 13 seconds to go, or go back and watch the last possession of the game. The best you can do is a 35-foot three from R.J. Barrett who can't shoot.
Well, that's on him because you could have moved that ball. You could have moved that ball around.
Regardless of who it's on, those two last possessions were brutal, but I still think two things can be true. You can be unbelievably upset at how that game ended and the consequences of how that game ended and the fact that the Knicks may end up as the sixth seed now because of how that game ended.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also still be unbelievably happy that you're unbelievably upset because they have gotten their season to a point where anything upsets you. It used to be with the Knicks over the last 10 years or more, apathy at this point in the season. We went to a place of emotion last night during that game that you haven't felt in a long, long time. That's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. I think the fact that you're annoyed today is great because apathy has left for the first time in 8, 9 years. That's fantastic. You're going to feel great about it next week. I mean, if you don't go, listen, I think they'll win out. I actually do think they'll win their last three games. But if they don't, you got to sweat this out a little bit. You know, I still think if you get two of them, you probably will get home to the fourth, fifth.
I don't know.
It's going to be tight. I mean, the Heat don't have the easiest of schedules left.
Yeah, but if they split between Philly and Milwaukee, I think they'll go 2-1, which means the Knicks, because they lose the tiebreaker, would have to win all three. I think the Knicks have to win all three to get to the 4-5. I think if they even go 2-1 in their last three games, because of the loss last night, I think they'll probably end up playing Milwaukee.
This has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We'll get to the Lakers aspect of this and why that was such a big win for them last night in a bit. The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight. Hawks hosting the Wizards, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 6:30 Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Up next, Major League Baseball could be confronted with a major decision shortly. We'll speak to an insider and get the scoop next. It's Barton Hahn, Carlin, and Wischusen filling in on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen filling in for Bart and Hahn today. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, which is where we go right now to welcome in MLB insider Jeff Passan to the show. Jeff, it's Chris and Bob. And, you know, first up, these strikeouts are piling up at just an absolutely alarming rate right now. It's almost like we've seen a major correction, almost overly so, in the direction of pitchers and how the ball is this year, all that. What is your take on what we have seen on how offenses have really struggled so far this year?
It's a problem. I mean, when you have a month like April where there were 1,092 more strikeouts than hits, it's illustrative of this imbalance that we've been careening toward in baseball for a decade plus now. I mean, the game is tilted in favor of pitchers, and you really do wonder what Major League Baseball is going to do to try and get the balance back in it. And the, you know, the interesting part is it's like MLB games right now are as long as they've ever been while the pitching is as good as it is. If you increase offense, game time is going to be even longer then. And what's the league going to do to combat that, which it thinks is every bit as much of an issue as is the strikeout one?
Yeah, Jeff, you know, Carlin's a cranky man. It's Bob now. you could see he didn't even welcome you to the show. Like, he didn't even say it's good to talk to you. Jeff, you're one of the best guys out there. We love having you on the program. Welcome. He just went right into complaining about strikeouts.
Because I don't want to waste Jeff's time with an exchanging of meaningless pleasantries where he knows that.
Jeff's a good guy. Like, you're supposed to at least welcome him to the show and talk about how privileged we are to get a chance to spend some time with him.
View's pretty good from the cheap seats over there, isn't it?
I will be honest. He does not have to kiss my ass. Okay.
Hey, how much of it do you think is the hitters doing this to themselves and everyone trying to hit a three-run home run? And how much of it is it, do you think, that pitching has just gotten that much better? Or it's just teams willing to live with a bunch of strikeouts to try and hit a bunch of home runs?
So I don't think this is a chicken and egg thing. I think that at the beginning, what was happening is that pitchers were getting a lot better. They were training in the off season with high speed cameras that were able to capture their deliveries of a pitch, to, you know, down to the smallest of frames, and they saw their hand position on the ball and understood what kind of spin they were getting on it. And they were able to literally go and create pitches inside of laboratories that were better than the sort of stuff they were throwing. Hitters haven't had the access to that kind of, calibration and iteration of their own stuff at this point. The consequence of that, of course, is that getting a hit became harder. And when getting a hit became harder, what's the way that you can recover from that? By doing more damage when you do actually put the bat on the ball. And so the only way to stay relevant right now inside of a baseball game where you have as few hits as you do is to go out and hit for power. And so the incentivization of those power hitters and the fact that they're the ones who are still going out and getting paid and keeping jobs only compounded what was there in the first place with pitchers getting better themselves.
Being the nice guy, being the happy guy on the show, I mean, this is the first time I think I've had a chance to talk to you in a while. Maybe we can have a moment. Maybe I can ask you a personal baseball question, something that might make you feel a little uncomfortable, but I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna tip my toe on the water here and take a chance.
Fire away.
Does Jeff Passan like analytics? Or do you hate analytics? You're an analytics guy. This could be a personal question for a baseball guy.
Yeah, you know what I am? I'm a person who likes knowledge. And I feel like analytics is such a dirty word in sports. Analytics is just another way of understanding what's going on in any facet of life. It's insight. It's a tool. It's not the be-all, end-all. And I think the consequence of the analytical revolution inside of baseball has been profound in a number of ways. I think it is a better game now in terms of the quality of the players and the ability to build them into doing things that we've never seen before. I also think that analytics have had a completely deleterious effect on the sport in that, you know, trying to seek out marginal advantages at what cost? And that cost has been not the sanctity of the game that we all knew and loved back in the day, but the fact that when you are having games where there are 15 strikeouts on each side and the thing feels like it's slowed down to a snail's pace, that's because When you are running an analytical organization, you're looking to be as efficient as possible. And the most efficient way to get through a lineup, guys, is to do so without allowing a ball in play. Because on average, historically, balls in play drop when hit between 29 and 30% of the time. And so if you can just eliminate the ball in play, well, you're sitting golden right there. You're not going to, you know, be a victim of luck or of anything like that. And that, to me, is where analytics have gone. They haven't gone too far in baseball. I just feel like they have taken over to the point where the game has suffered because of the principles they espouse.
Jeff Passan, ESPN senior MLB insider, joining Chris Carlin, Bob Wischus, and filling in Barton Hahn here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Jeff joining us via the Goodyear Hotline. Jeff, you had the exclusive yesterday about the Oakland A's yet again exploring a move out of Oakland. Is this going to be a much more likely scenario than we've seen with them in the past?
I'm not there at this point. I look at this like, hey, we are tired of not having an answer. We have no power over governmental authorities, so let's use the leverage that we can, try and figure out what our future is going to be. And with Oakland having lost the Raiders to Las Vegas, and with Oakland having lost the Warriors to San Francisco, all of a sudden the prospect of losing a third team is politically just not viable for the people whose jobs it is to run the city. And so I think that in the end,
Do I believe that the A's will stay? I do. But I do that because I look at history, guys. And the last team to move in Major League Baseball was the Montreal Expos to Washington in 2005. And the last team to move before that was the Washington Senators to Texas back in 1972. That means that in the last 50 years, we've seen two teams move, despite threats all the time of teams. Oh, if I don't get a stadium, you know what I... Yeah. I think in the end, Oakland recognizes that having a professional sports team is better than not. And if that's going to cost the city money, that might just be the price that they're going to have to pay. And you can look at the A's and say that, you got a billionaire owner who's robber baroning cities here. And I can't deny that at all. It's what professional sports does. They, professional sports believes that it is so valuable that there should be a publicly funded component that people inside the city and in the surrounding metropolitan area have to pay for it. It's almost like a tax on having a team.
Jeff, last one for me, and it's simply around the marketing of these young stars and MLB trying to sell them. You look at what Shohei Ohtani's doing right now. They've had Mike Trout in Anaheim forever, who has not wanted to be that guy. Tatis, all these guys, how are they going to go about this, really turning these into the stars that they need like the NBA has?
I don't think they're going to. I think that's just the reality at this point. And it depends on the player and the personality. Like Mike Trout, Shohei Ohtani does not seek that. Fernando Tatis Jr. does. And it's why you see him in a BMW commercial. And it's why you see him in a MLB The Show commercial. And it's why you see him all over the place. And it has worked. Like, I see people, I'm in Kansas City, I see people wearing Tatis jerseys, or Tatis t-shirts. And that's the kind of thing that I think takes a little bit of time. But it's very interesting how similar Trout and Ohtani are in that fashion. They are nose to the grindstone, put in the work, and appreciate it that way, as opposed to the public adulation and adoration. And Ohtani's a guy who, when he was in Japan, like, he lived in the dorms. Like, seriously, he didn't, could have been somebody who had an amazing apartment, partying all, now he lived in dorms because he wanted to play baseball.
I didn't want to live in the dorms when I lived in the dorms. I don't know, whatever.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Jeff, great stuff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Appreciate it as always. Thanks very much.
Pleasure's always mine, fellas. All right. Get along.
whatever he says about analytics, and there is a balanced, to me, analytics has hurt baseball just as a fan and as a consumer. Watch the Yankee game last night. Jordan Montgomery's got 9 strikeouts. He's got 1 run, 2 hits, and they yank him after 85 pitches because that. And you know what? Loaisiga comes in, 2 shutout innings. Aroldis Chapman shuts the door, and all the guys with the clipboards are like, "See, we're right. It worked." You know what it was? It was a boring baseball game.
It's counterintuitive. Pitchers love strikeouts. Hitters, they don't think strikeouts are that big of a deal anymore. It really is counterintuitive. Up next, it is starting to get late on an NBA Cinderella, and how the Lakers are going to find their way out of the play-in round. We'll get to it all in moments. Jeff Passan joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, bringing us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Your calls as well coming up at 888-729-3776 right after Bob has this message.
Spring makes all things new, and the Home Depot makes all spring things possible. Start a garden, refinish a deck, use the Home Depot mobile app to put over 2 million products in the palm of your hand. Some ready for pickup in as little as 2 hours. Oh, and if you don't have the tools you need, the Home Depot's tool rental department does. Download the Home Depot mobile app and get started. Bring on spring with innovative help from the Home Depot. How doers get more done. No square foot minimum. Excludes in-stock styles. U.S. only. See store for details. Bob Wischusen, Chris Carlin, Barton Hahn. Calls coming up on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
The Lakers and Knicks that are making moves. Chris Carlin, Bob Wischusen for Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And of course, all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. The Lakers with that win last night, we discussed yesterday at length and how much more important for the Lakers that win was going to be. And the fact that they got it done, we found out later in the day that LeBron wasn't going to play. AD was not at his 100%, as we've talked about.
It looks like LeBron back for Houston.
Yes, tonight.
He should be there their last three games.
Correct. Well, maybe not if they're going to go back-to-back. Are they back-to-back or not?
They do, but they might need it.
Yeah. I mean, if they do and they need it to get into the sixth spot, you would think that he would play.
That's a great question. What do you do with LeBron to avoid, like, how's that yin and yang work if you're deciding his health versus the need to get out of a play-in game?
You're kind of deciding on both there because you're basically playing him in that game to get a week's rest,
right,
more than anything else. And moving into the sixth spot for the Lakers is, in my estimation, just so exceptionally important, because then you're talking about playing the Clippers in round one, and then maybe you're cooking with some gas. They'll get out of the play-in round, but it's just taking more out of them, and then you're playing either the Suns or the Jazz. And as we continue to see the Lakers struggle with their injuries, if it were me at this point, I'd have to try to figure out a way to play them. Because it's not just a week of rest, it's my chances at creating the best matchups that I can. Do you right now think the Lakers, in their current health status, if they go in and both of these guys are not 100%, even assuming they get through the play-in round where they lose to the Warriors and then win the 9-10 game, whatever it is, Are they beating the Suns? Are they beating the Jazz?
That's so hard. When you say they're not 100%, what does that mean?
It means that LeBron is going to be dealing with this high ankle sprain through this. He's going to play, but he's not going to be typical LeBron.
No.
He's Anthony Davis. Same thing.
Yep.
Back spasms could pop up. Says he's hurting last night. If they are on the floor, but not at 100%, at 70%, let's say, for both of them, are they going to beat the Jazz or are they going to beat the Suns? My answer is no.
I would agree with that. If Anthony Davis is in between possessions, like holding his groin because he, you know, can't get up and down the floor the way he normally would, like he looked last night, if LeBron is not explosive LeBron, if he is hobbled LeBron, then yeah, I would agree with you. And they're playing against healthy teams, healthy opponents, then I would agree. But I do think that if they can find a way to get to that sixth spot, like you said, and they could give those guys a week of rest, and then you've got healthy Anthony Davis, healthy LeBron, or at least 90%, whatever. I mean, everyone probably dealing with a little something this time of the year. Then I think there is a lot to be said for we've got the guys we think are the two best players, and we're good.
Bart and Han on ESPN, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. We told you about that clock about to strike midnight on one Cinderella. We'll get into the Lakers as well. It is Tim Legler joining us next, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han, the podcast.